Express yourself. Express yourself. You don't never need help from nobody else. All you got to do now, express yourself.
Well, howdy, everybody. It's another Friday afternoon at KDNK, which must mean it's time for Express Yourself, the weekly show where you get to explore all the creative things happening up and down the valley, in and outside the valley. We've got quite the lineup today. My name is Brian Colley. I am your host today. And today we will have a conversation with Megan Jansen of Dance Initiative and choreographers of Co-Motion about their performance tonight at the Thompson House. Following that, an interview with local artist and sculptor Nancy Lovendahl about her current exhibition, Small Glimpses Many Times, Mount Sopris Edition at Carbondale Arts. And then we'll wrap up with a conversation with pastel artists Doug Grabiel and Melissa Sumera of AVLT as part of an upcoming group show in partnership with the Aspen Valley Land Trust at the Aspen Chapel Gallery, which opens next week. But first, we've got some live music coming your way. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
Why don't you introduce yourselves for everybody?
Well, my name is John Hatanaka, and this is my bandmate, Natalie, right? And we're going to be singing Original for you. And so I'll let Natalie introduce herself.
I'm Natalie Ray. And John and I are a duo. We've been playing for years together.
Oh, awesome.
And we're excited to share this today.
Yeah. And there's something happening after the show. Is
yes.
that right?
We're going to be sharing some music. We're going to be tossing the mic back with Muggsy Faye. I can't wait. It should be a lot of fun. This mic is kind of...
Oh, you got a touchy mic over here.
Yeah, it's kind of...
Wobbly.
Slumping a little bit.
I'll make sure the levels are good.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Thanks, Brian.
Great. Yeah. Do you have a band name?
We go by Sound and the Messenger.
I like that.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
And we're on all the media outlets at just Sound and the Messenger, so
Sound
you can find
the
us there. Yeah.
Cool. And then at 5:30, you'll be playing with Muggsy Faye outside. Is there like a sort of concert, or is it like just like a musical happening later today?
It's really kind of anybody's welcome. Just come in and listen.
Cool.
It should be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Just to come in. And yeah, it's a nice little afternoon here. We got a little bit of rain in the last few days, which has been wonderful, so it's kind of this nice cool feeling.
Yes. Especially yes. as you go into the weekend with the nice cool feeling. Oh my gosh.
Oh, so good. So good.
And you actually look forward to going outside on the weekend.
Yeah, come on out and start your weekend right.
Yay. Well, cool. What song are you guys thinking of playing today?
Well, we're going to do this one called Seven Stars. And
cool.
Basically a good friend of mine that I work with, he was helping me earlier last year. And he described to me that all the stars in the sky are our teachers. And they could help you. And you can meet them, and it was your choice, but that choice was up to you. And so basically he told me that thought, that kind of idea, and it basically wrote that song. And I went home and wrote it, and
wow.
and it's one of the favorites that we love playing. So
wow.
Yeah.
I can't wait. Natalie, do you have anything to add about the song?
I think that's a good sum up.
Yeah. Okay. Hit it.
Close my eyes and that I can see stars in my vision. I've been told that they're my teachers and I will learn from them, and I do. Come in place and parts that are beyond myself, and I can forget they're all held from each other. that holds true. Truth that caught me in a restless sleep last night, as I was poured over my thoughts and emotions, and my heart connects the two. Little dude. Conscious in my belief, everything is meant to be. Even this guitar and help meld together with restrictions, realizations, which are just one situations which are hold me both and take me deep within me, deep within me. Cause what you find is waiting in your only eyes, and what you are is sitting on a silent cross. Where we are is taken on the seven stars under headlights, under headlights. Staring at 311 and I'm looking at the signs, and reality comes together when I find the flow. Cause this lies on the edge of possibility and this and no, yet I'm weaving through the streets with my feet in tow. Where to go?
Where to go?
What to know?
What to know?
Where to go?
Seven sisters, listen, mister, I got a problem, I think we can solve it. Give me your ear, we got this. Waiting on the curb, underwater, submerged, full of promise, full of hope, hope I don't choke on my words. The bees and the birds fill the air with love. Hope there's someone looking out for me from above. Left alone again, looking for a friend. There's always a beginning and every end, and in the end, I just want to be held. Wrap your arms around me, together we'll melt. Like the ice of winter, giving out to spring. Every time you look at me, it makes me want to sing. Oh, like the ice of winter, giving out to spring. Every time you look at me, it makes me want to sing. Oh, oh, oh.
What you find is waiting in your only eyes. And what you are is sitting on a silent cause. With your creeping ghosts, sneak out with your feelings. Let you know in the cave below.
what you are is sitting on a silent car. And where we are is taking on the seven stars under headlights, under headlights. Close my eyes and now I can see stars in my vision. Told that they're my teachers and I will learn from them, and I do. The commonplace and parts that are beyond myself, and I can all forget that we're held from each other. Know that it's true. So, I like you.
Wow, wow. That was amazing. You guys play so well together. That's such a pleasure to watch in person.
Well, thank you so much.
I hope folks will come out at 5:30 and hear you guys outside. Is it right outside the station then?
It's just right outside the station. Yeah. It'll just be right out front. And Katie and Kay. Which, I mean, thank you for having us on today. It's the dream.
Yeah.
It's the dream.
Just John, Natalie Ray, Sound and the Messenger.
Yeah.
And
Muggsy Faye is going to join us.
And Muggsy Faye.
So some come and join. Support some local musicians.
Excellent. Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Yeah. Thank you, Brian.
Hope we'll get to come listen to you guys outside. So I'm going to continue with the show. We got a packed show. Up next, we've got an interview with Megan Jansen, Dance Initiative. She interviews Jen Campbell and Lily Bright, who are choreographers in tonight's Co-Motion Dance Company performance, Alters, at the Thompson House.
Hi, welcome. This is Megan Jansen from Dance Initiative, and I have in the studio with me right now Jen Campbell and Lily Bright. They are participating in tonight's Co-Motion performance of Alters. Welcome, you guys. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Great to be here, Megan.
I'm just looking at the mission right now. Co-Motion is a collaborative dance company supported by Dance Initiative that helps that develops content-driven and place-based modern dance while exploring creative boundaries. Co-Motion believes in the transformative power of movement to create narratives drawn from contemporary questions. The thing that stands out to me with Co-Motion, and full disclosure, I actually am technically part of Co-Motion. I'm a moving body. I'm not a managing member. So there's a group of managing members, and then they invite guest artists in to dance and perform and create with them. And the thing that continues to strike me about Co-Motion is how advanced and professional a group it is for a town of 6,000 people. It's kind of crazy. I think everyone has a higher degree in dance. Is that right, Jen?
I think that's true, actually. I think pretty much uniformly across the group, everyone grew up dancing and has some sort of degree in dance along with other things like architecture or education. But certainly all of us have spent extensive time dancing, working on our art, and really cultivating that in our lives.
And Co-Motion started when?
In 2013, there was a small, I don't actually know how many, I'm going to say five or six because I wasn't there, dancers who decided to come together and create work together, and that they really had this desire for community connection with each other through dance and creating together.
So Jen, tell me how you became a dancer and when you knew you were a dancer.
When did I know I was a dancer? This is a great question. I don't actually remember a time in my life where I didn't kind of consider myself a dancer. You know, I tap danced in my house as a child and did little performances like lots of people do. And started really taking dance classes when I was 8. And was very involved in it, really, in my growing up years. Like, taught dance as a teenager to younger kids, and I performed, and I really loved it. And traveled even some to take classes different places. Then I actually traveled enough that I kind of had stepped away from dance for a little bit. And then I went to college and I decided to just take a class for fun and remembered just how much I love it, which fed me right back into that dance degree. And then my career has really evolved out of that movement-based work, Pilates and yoga, along with dance performance. I would say for me personally, I took, you know, many years break from performing when I had my children and off and on, and had gotten kind of back into dance a little bit before I moved here in 2017, early 2017. I moved here in 2017 and was kind of peeking around the dance studio, around the launch pad, and ended up kind of slipping into Green is the New Black in 2018, which is what drew me into Commotion and becoming a part of this group, which I have been since then, and I would say more and more involved as time has gone on.
And Lily, how about you? When did you know that you were a dancer? You were meant for the stage.
What's that song? I've been dancing since I was
12. Yeah.
Since I was born in the womb. It's kind of like that, I think, for all of us,
yeah,
right?
I think so. I
you know, danced, yeah, similarly, I think, since I was three, you know, growing up in West Virginia, the dance studio of local West Virginia. Yeah, tap, ballet, jazz. I continued in college. I was a dance and theater major at Northwestern. There I got exposed to more contemporary styles as well as somatic forms of movement such as Feldenkrais, and that really had a huge impact on the way I experienced myself as a dancer, and that I think kind of paved the trajectory of my life in dance. I moved to LA in 2003, and I had a good 10 years away from dance. I think it's a not uncommon path. I got involved, I put my kind of producing skills to use, and I started making films and distributing films and did dance on the side. It was kind of like my private passion. And over time, I think all of us, if you're a dancer, you're always a dancer. Mm-hmm. And your soul gets called back into that life. If you're honest with yourself and if you listen. So, yeah, I started teaching more. I teach Feldenkrais, started following and deeply studying Gaga and the work of Ohad Naharin, and been teaching that work as well. Somatic-inspired, sensory-based movement as an entry point to dance and to personal expressivity. Then I relocated here to the Roaring Fork Valley last fall, and I just feel like this is cosmic, honestly. Did I just sing Cosmic Dancer? So yeah. That's funny. That I landed in a place I didn't know. I mean, I'm super familiar with this area for decades, and it felt like the right time to relocate here after the events of 2020, and to find myself in Carbondale and this incredible community of movers and dancers, I just don't even know what even have words for it. It's just been such a gift, and I feel really humbled to be part of the community and to be able to create, and especially in this particular time.
Mm-hmm. Commotion sat down in the spring and decided, well, had a conversation. What's this year going to look like? How are we going to make art and make work? So, Jen, talk a little bit about that conversation and just the impetus for this particular show.
You know, it's interesting, Megan, because I think my memory of it, and you can correct me if you think I'm wrong, is that actually, in part, you initiated the conversation of, like, I miss creating art together and I miss dancing together, and I just want to make space for that. Do you think that could be correct?
Sure, that sounds great.
Uh-huh. Let's go with that. So I think from that, you know, we were taking class inside mass, but it was very few people at a time. And so basically what we started with was everyone having the task of creating some seed, what we called seed solos, something that felt meaningful and expressive about our experiences over the last year that we would put into movement and into dance. And then out of those seed solos, really, we had all kinds of ideas that were maybe going to happen or not happen. And it was a, you know, kind of a road here and a road there. But here we are performing tonight. I could talk more about the in-between, but more or less, I think that's what started it and got it moving. Mm-hmm. Got things moving.
And for your personal content, like your solo seed, mm-hmm. What was coming up for you when you were making that, thinking about that, working through
yeah.
it?
Yeah. For me, that material was, I would say, and still is, emblematic, really, of my experiences of that time of sort of much of my soloist sort of walking in place, moving in one place, and feeling all kinds of feelings about being in one place. And the joy then of moving out of that place, of softening, of connecting. So for me, that was a lot of what I was working with as I worked on that solo.
And Lily, how about for you, the content that you guys have created for this performance?
Megan, you were the kind of impetus to the untethered gestures of the heart that Alice and I have created because you asked us, was it December or maybe it was January of this year? I think it was January, to put something together for the art walk, the Light the Night with Love in Carbondale. And so, which was informed by the Valentine's Day holiday of February. And it was such a gift because it gave us this vast subject matter, right? The heart, to distill into, excuse me, to distill into a personal story, a personal experience of what the heart is for me, for Allison, and then us weaving our movement together, our choreography together into something that, that had a structure and a container.
Hmm. What would you like to say about the performance tonight? What's important for people to know?
Come see it because there is this incredible community of dancers, which you may or may not know about. If you do, come out because you have to support artists, especially during this time, always, but especially during this time. And if you don't know, come out because there is this a real treasure in this valley and in Carbondale of beautiful movers and heartfelt, really performance and dance with a depth and with this relational sensitivity and choreography that's very not only alive, but it feels very, it's speaking to the moment that we have all lived through and are living through this really unique and often very challenging time.
Yes. That was well said.
Wow.
I have been thinking about this idea of how essential art is. And many of us may not hold that truth necessarily. Mm-hmm. But I would pose the question, if your life were devoid of music and art and dance and your home were beige only, our life would be lacking. And dance particularly given the experience the pandemic has had a harder time. You know, it's not the same as painting. And it's meaningful. And it brings beauty and truth and honesty to our lives that we don't get other ways. And so if you're moved to come, we'd love to see you. And our, I think one of our goals, too, is that it's really not just we're performing up on some sort of stage, but that we are connecting with the audience. And hopefully through the experience that you're witnessing, you're connecting with us, and that it will be that's really our goal, I would say, above and beyond anything. We're so happy to be able to share it and genuinely share it with the audience, and the audience is also sharing with us in that sort of way, too.
Mm. Mm. Nice. So we have Jen Campbell, Megan, Londi Shapiro, Dana Ellis, Deborah Colley, Emily Pfeiffer, myself, Megan Jansen, Lily Bright, Allison Bull, Marchand, Melly Test. Who am I missing?
I think that's it
for dancers. Those are the performers. Most of whom have participated in some of the choreography.
And I was just going to add live music mm-hmm. for parts and pieces, Alexander Marchand.
Tonight, 7:30. For more information, you can check out danceinitiative.org/events. Please come. It's going to be beautiful and a really great way to celebrate the moment that we're in and the end of summer and this wonderful community of dancing artists that we get to be a part of and have right here in our very own backyard. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you so much, Megan.
Thank you.
Next up, we have a conversation with Nancy Levendahl about her solo show, Small Glimpses Many Times, Mount Soper's Edition, which is up now through September 10th at Carbon Del Arts.
Hi, Brian. I'm Nancy Levendahl. Based in Old Snowmass. I've been a longtime artist in the Valley, and I'm a sculptor and public artist and work around the country as well as this show at the Launchpad.
Mm-hmm. It's called Small Glimpses Many Times, the Mount Soper's Edition. Can you tell us why it's an edition instead of just the regular title? You had some other shows like this, but with different subject matter.
Correct. So this is an idea I'm pursuing visually of a concept of how we can find a way to talk to each other. The division in the country is really, really painful for me, as I know it is for you and so many others of us. And what I'm realizing is that we don't listen to each other. Hmm. When we speak to each other, we don't understand each other. And a lot of that has to do with some of the ways that our brains are developed. Hmm. Hmm. So that's why this idea of small glimpses many times, that's how we learn. It's not a big jump that we learn things. It's slices, mm-hmm. little tiny things like learning to play the piano. Hmm. And so by doing this repetitive learning, it can isolate us, it can make us rigid, because you actually develop in your brain like superhighways that are actually ground into your physical gray matter.
Wow.
I know. It's,
wow.
You know, the science on this is revolutionary. And so the only way to get out of our way and to open up more options instead of our regular go-tos, our knee-jerk reactions, mm-hmm. is to place other thoughts on top of these automatic responses. So,
huh.
again, the idea of small glimpses many times works as our healing as well.
Oh, interesting.
So every time we feel ourselves go into a reaction, possibly an unconscious reaction, but you know, you know how you feel when you're like, oh, wow, I didn't even think about that. Mm-hmm. I just went bang,
yeah,
you know, into an idea. So when we notice that, even if we just stand back from it 2 inches and go, wow,
mm-hmm.
is a way of starting to build another opportunity for us to change slowly, slowly,
wow.
Small glimpses many times.
Small glimpses many times.
So small glimpses many times is a Buddhist practice. It
okay.
comes out of the tradition of Dzogchen. And it really gives us a practice of moment by moment returning to our consciousness. Hello,
wow.
consciousness.
We need more of those
we
moments.
We need as many moments as we can get.
Wow.
So in this show, what I've tried to do is give small glimpses many times of the physical mountain of Mount Sopris.
Okay. Glimpses of the mountain itself. And then you've brought that into the gallery show. So that's the main subject of the show, I would say. There's some other pieces here, too. But talk about how you chose Mount Sopris as a subject.
So I think that we only are willing to talk to people on the other side of the fence when it's something that's not terribly political.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to use art and beauty and something easy that we love
mm-hmm.
to notice these ways that we think about each other and treat each other. So that's why I chose Mount Sopris.
Yeah, because we all see it all the time, especially if you're in Carbondale. So it's perfect for having a show in Carbondale because everyone's so familiar with the mountain. But then you have an exercise, a really cool kind of, I don't know, mental exercise, I would say, for people to come in. When you come in the gallery, you're invited to draw your own Mount Sopris.
Exactly, exactly. So my experience in the first iteration, the 1.0 of Small Glimpses many times,
mm-hmm.
is looking out of my studio window. I look at the back of Garrett's Peak and have for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working on a project out of town, and I thought, I'm just going to carve Garrett's piece from memory.
Without looking.
Without looking.
Wow.
Just from memory. Because in italics, I know it so well.
I know. And you're doing it in three dimensions, so you have
exactly.
to have an idea of the 3D aspect.
Exactly.
Ooh.
So I carved my mini Garrett's Peak, came home, held it up with my hand and went, holy moly, that doesn't look anything like Garrett Peak. And it started me thinking about, isn't that true for almost everything?
Mm-hmm.
We think we're talking to each other. We think we're seeing each other. But if we really were asked to recall specifics, I mean, how many of us in school would listen to the same lecture and walk away, you know, I heard this. What? I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
It was all something else.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to use Mount Sopris as a way that we can all go into a conversation together and really discover how we each see everything differently and that it's a good thing. In other words, there should be room for everyone's opinion in our country.
Mm-hmm.
There should be enough room for every seat at the table to be occupied by someone different because we have so much to give.
Yeah.
I think we just go into our knee-jerk reactions, and that's what limits this very diverse and very colorful conversation that can make us all better.
Mm-hmm. And you've been working on this project for quite some time because, I mean, there's plenty of subject matter to draw from when you're talking about people not getting along.
So I've been a longtime stone carver, ceramist, welder, many mixed medias.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided that I wanted to use as many human-made materials as I could because we're talking about fantasies that our minds make up, right?
Sure.
So I've made flexible Tyvek mountain paintings, two-dimensional flexible mountains, like there's a mind bender for you. And then I carved from memory a 6-inch by 4-inch Mount Sopris that has been cast many times in all sorts of different colors of epoxy resin and polyurethane plastics. Right. So these are invented views. But the most fun part, of course, for the visitor to engage in is I have a blackboard covering one of the bigger walls so that you can draw your own with chalk on a blackboard. And it's been interesting to watch that because at first I thought, oh, no, we put on the wall, draw your own. And I saw people just walking in and just like doodling. And then I stood back and I started realizing all the little kids are standing very close to the ground. So they would see all the grasses outside. They would see all the little bunnies and the chipmunks and all that.
Sure.
And that's what's on the wall. I mean, it's so interesting. Some people are drawing a profile of the mountain. Some people are drawing the content of the mountain. But really the engagement is so that you can go outside and look at the mountain and sort of stand back and go, huh, I drew a fantasy. This is supposedly the real mountain I'm engaging with.
Right.
What is the difference and how does that affect my life with other people? With other aspects of my own life.
And not only that, but different perspectives. If you live in Carbondale, the mountain looks like this. If you're in Snowmass, it looks something like something else. And just what people bring to the table, kind of like what you said, you know, are you looking at the same Mount Sopris? Yes, but how, you know, your own history of your life like informs everything up to now. And to try and engage with somebody at that level so you do make a connection, that's a real challenge. And I'm impressed with how that comes through in your show, just with the Mount Sopris. It's like such a simple idea.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that because I think we all need so much practice.
We do.
But we have such a spiritual relationship with Mount Sopris. So I think that that's another part of the suggestion, is things don't have to be visible because they're so experienced and felt. And that's the same thing with people. You know, when we hit each other's hot spots, maybe that'll warm us up with a little more compassion as to why someone did fly off the handle, because it is so close to home. And that as well, that can also bring us together, that since things can be such an experience, we can share that experience.
Yeah. Could you walk people around the room when they come see your show? What can they expect to see?
Well, so when you're standing at the door, what you're seeing is the draw your own. So I think that that's kind of like, wow, I get to have some fun here, which is a wonderful way to enter.
Yeah.
So on the right, I have three stone sculptures that are standing figures. And they've got stone tops, shoulders, heads, torsos, and they've got metal legs. And they are, in a way, like sentinels to this whole idea.
Cool.
They're watching the show, and they are actually made of the real mountain, the real stone, real metal. So they are holding the center. And so then you look to your left from these sculptures, and there's a single shelf that runs from wall to wall that has brightly colored cast miniature Mount Soprises just marching all along. And they're every color you can imagine that the flowers are on Mount Sopris, the stones are on Mount Sopris, the dirt colors, sky colors, all marching. So as you're approaching that wall on your left again, the wall has been painted blue, and I've drawn a huge Mount Sopris ridgeline. And filling up that ridgeline are small glimpses many times of the shape of Mount Sopris in these two-dimensional flexible paintings I was telling you about. So to take something that is three-dimensional and huge and reduce it to a piece of thin Tyvek. Tyvek is the membrane that surrounds your house to keep it weatherproof. So what I like about Tyvek is it's human-made. Mm-hmm. It's very flexible, and it has a bit of shine to it. So I've been using spray paints and all kinds of mixed media to use my outline of Mount Sopris in many different positions. Because as we all know, you start with an idea of Mount Sopris. Just let's keep with our metaphor here. Mm-hmm. And by the time you put it through all of its paces, it becomes something very different. So I have some of these Mount Sopris cutouts put bottom to bottom, vertically, so they look like a leaf. So the way our mind works is we invent new subjects out of our starting subjects. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many times have we stopped in conversation like, now where was I? Where was I going with that idea?
Sure, sure.
Same kind of thing in the show.
Wow. You really covered the whole from the sculpture to the drawing and to the flexible mountains. I think it's such a great approach to, you know, finding something for everyone because everyone has different methods of learning. But it is, again, the small glimpses many times. It takes practice to get it through your brain cells and channel everything back through to, you know, healthy connections and conversations. So
I think we all like to learn through a good story. I don't think that we learn through negativity. I mean, we may berate ourselves. Oh, I got to learn this. But most of my observations in my own life is I remember sitting with Father Theophane from St. Benedict's Monastery, and he'd walk up to you and just say, so, Nancy, what do you think about? And he'd launch into this huge story. And I would never forget them.
Yeah.
And so in my mind, we want to learn through happiness and beauty and love. I mean, love is all there is.
Yeah.
The Beatles taught us that.
Those are better teachers than the negative side of things. So great. Thank you, Nancy. Anything else you want to mention before we wrap up?
The launch pad is such a precious resource in our valley for sculptors like myself that can take an idea and put it out there without huge consequences to test things out. So I'm really grateful to the staff of the Launchpad, especially you, for giving me a wide range of trying to express myself.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Small Glimpses Many Times is at the Launchpad through September 10th. The gallery is open to the public weekdays, 10 to 5, and Saturdays, 10 to 2. And if you want to learn more, go to carbondelarts.com and under galleries. Thank you, Nancy, for your time.
My pleasure. Like a sound you hear that lingers in your ear, but you can't forget from sundown to sunset. Nah. It's all in the air, you hear it every.
That was Nancy Lovendahl with her show at the Launchpad. Go check it out. It's up for a few more weeks, so you got time. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I've got some live people here in the studio at long last again. I'm joined by Doug Grabiel and Melissa Sumera. Doug is a pastel artist, and Melissa works with AVLT, the Aspen Valley Land Trust. Say hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. We are live people.
Live people. And we've got a show coming up at the Aspen Chapel Gallery that I'm actually participating in as well. But Doug, you're the curator, and can you tell us how this all came about?
Yeah, well, as a curator, we get the responsibility of setting up a show. And we've started partnering with nonprofits in the Valley. And being a former board member of the AVLT, I thought, what a great opportunity to work with the AVLT. So we set up a group of 10 painters to go out on AVLT's properties and do plein air paintings of the properties. So it's going to be an outstanding show of lands that are preserved in our Valley. Show's title is Our Lands.
Mm-hmm. And Melissa, what is your role at Aspen Valley Land Trust? Have you been working with Doug on this project for a while?
Well, we, of course, got COVID delayed. So sure. The original show was meant to be fall 2020, and it's been pushed back. We're excited for the opening reception, which is next Wednesday from 4 to 7 at the Aspen Chapel. And we were just really honored to be approached by Doug and his team. He put together a great group of artists, some of which we've worked with in the past. We used to do an Earth Day art show in Glenwood that some of these members have just been longtime AVLT supporters. So normally my job is not to arrange for artists to get out on privately conserved properties, but it was a pretty fun job to have in the middle of quarantine and get people outside. So we've sent this group to Old Snowmass, Marble, Newcastle, Silt, and the Kaufman Ranch property here in Carbondale that we are very soon to be acquiring. So we're really excited to see the products.
Oh my gosh. And to see the products, of all the artworks. Can you tell the artist list?
Yeah, the artists.
Great people. I mean, I'm part of that group. I'll just be upfront about that. Lucky me.
Yeah, well, it was fun to put this group together because it's a diverse group. Pastel artists, oils, watercolors, really good group. So we've got Brian, Lorraine Davis, Marcia Fasaro, myself, Michael Kinsley, Tammy Lane, Linda Lotion, Lori McBride, Dave Norder, and Jill Sabella. So it's a really diverse group.
Yeah, and what a pleasure it was to get to go out onto these properties. Just amazing sites. I couldn't even complain about a single one, like the views and just being outside, especially like you said, Melissa, during COVID and lockdown. Just we had a couple times, maybe not during lockdown, but there was one last fall at the Kaufman Ranch. It was just great to just be outside with other people, you know, safely masked up if needed, and so beautiful.
We had a great time. The artists really enjoyed getting together, particularly during COVID. But I fondly remember being on the Darien Ranch outside of Marble on a, you know, we'd had all the smoke in the air, but we had an absolutely clear day. The leaves were prime, and you do these paintings and look back at them and go, the colors are too bright. No, they're not. That's how it really was.
Wow.
I know you had one really windy day, too, in Newcastle.
I remember that. I booked the whole day, and I spent some of the time just kind of hiding under one of the shelters because it was so windy. But, you know, it gives me time to kind of reset and figure out what's working, what's not working. Doug was out there pretty solid the whole time.
Yeah, I tied a rock to my easel to keep from going anywhere.
Right. So, yeah. And it's been pretty good participation, I would say, with all the artists coming out on location. I think I've missed a couple spots, but the ones I've been to, I'm not much of a on-location plein air artist. I have a few sketches in the show that I've managed to, you know, pull off. Most of my work happens in the studio. But that's just me. A lot of the artists out there were making just masterpieces on location, which is unbelievable to watch.
Well, the land that the AVLT holds is such a wonderful thing for all of us and for future generations. And I think all the artists were just inspired by these incredible settings and, you know, beautiful days. So, you know, support the AVLT. It's an awesome organization.
Yeah. Would you mind talking a little bit about how AVLT kind of works for people getting interested, or maybe they have a property or know of a property that could be protected?
Yeah. So the primary tool that we use is a conservation easement, which is essentially placing a deed restriction on your land that you continue to own and steward. So a lot of people think that when we work with folks that we become the landowner, that we, you know, we own and we manage all of these properties. And there are a few places that we do own. Was very public when we purchased the outdoor education high alpine property in Marble that we call the Marble Base Camp that has brought a lot of school kids out. So that is owned. The Kaufman Ranch, when we acquire it, will be owned. And there's several parks in Aspen, which is actually the origin story of AVLT was from some benefactors who wanted to donate parks, and they were nervous to give them to the government that they might not stay protected. So part of our charter as an accredited land trust is that we must ensure that the deed restrictions that are lined out within the terms of the conservation document are upheld forever.
Wow.
And, you know, there's 400 plus nonprofits in the Valley, and very few of them have a perpetual mission.
Wow.
So we feel very, you know, that just dominates everything that we do. And then the method by which we make sure that we're holding up to the standard is to monitor each property under our care annually. So that used to be done entirely in person on every single property every year. And as technology has gotten more advanced, we've been able to do some years where we do aerial monitoring, satellite imagery, you know, just the quality of all this kind of technology has gotten so much better.
Wow.
But what I think is so great about the show and the work that you guys have done as participants is, you know, really just to remind the public that private land conservation is important to everyone. And some people get very caught up in the recreation aspects, and if you can't go access that property, you know, what is the value to you personally? And there are a lot of really beautiful gems up and down the valley that you drive by that are protected. You might not even be aware that they're protected.
Wow.
You know, we're very focused on that the boundaries of each town is where development belongs, and that we want to keep those buffers available. And many of the places that you guys went, you know, we also did a day up in Missouri Heights on a couple of properties. I mean, some of these areas like Darien Ranch, they're just really important wildlife corridors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the high areas where the public land is where the summering goes on. But the valley floor is where all the development is where that wildlife goes to get access to the rivers. So
it's
all really vitally important. And we think that having some beautiful paintings of this and having folks come to the show and be reminded of that, potentially purchase a piece and take it home to keep reminding yourself of that, and the artists participating are generously donating a percentage of those sales to AVLT's work. So we're just really appreciative.
Yeah, the sales percentage goes to support the Aspen Chapel Gallery,
mm-hmm.
percentage of the AVLT, and then the artists take a percentage.
Mm-hmm.
And we've also set it up that each artist is donating a piece to the AVLT for their use.
Mm-hmm.
So the AVLT is actually the oldest land trust in the state of Colorado, founded in 1967.
Goodness.
And they have, last count I heard, was like 66 square miles total in conservation easement. If you think about that, that's a huge, huge area. So,
and those are all pretty close to the valley, I would assume.
We have a big service area. We go all the way from Independence Pass out to DeBec.
Okay.
Wow. And it's 44,000 acres, but yes, 60, I think it's 67 square miles.
Wow.
So we're very proud of that.
Yeah. So, Brian, the show is open at the Aspen Chapel Gallery weekdays, Monday through Friday, from 10 to 5.
Very good, yes.
And it's open until October 3rd is the last day.
Yeah.
So.
And a reminder, it opens next Wednesday, this coming Wednesday.
4 to 7,
yeah. Yep, 4 to 7. If you don't know where the Chapel Gallery is, you've probably seen it. You've probably driven by it on the roundabout. And when you go to Aspen, there's a chapel right there. And if you drive to the chapel, there's an art gallery in the basement. And that's where we'll all be hanging out, slinging our wares.
It's one of the few venues in the valley where local artists are able to display their work.
That's right.
This is show number like 220. So
yeah,
it's the longest running gallery in Aspen
under consistent ownership.
Mm-hmm. So it's a wonderful, it's been updated. We've got some new lighting. Mm-hmm. So yeah, swing by.
Yeah. Thank you both for being here. It's been a pleasure talking with you. Thanks for taking time out of your day. Yeah, I can't wait to see the show.
Thanks for having us, Brian. If anyone has any other questions, you can feel free to contact our staff and avlt.org. Check us out.
Awesome.
Thanks, Brian.
Well, that about wraps it up for Express Yourself. Thanks for joining, and we'll see you next week for another full show coming right up. You don't never need